Right before we hit the news, we were speaking to Frankie in Metairie, who is running for office this time, last time, once again. Frankie, what's your story with this electoral process here?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting too old to do this. Man, I got a hurt hip. I'm a host for Jazz Fest. I don't need to be doing this. I qualified for the legislative branch basically because of the fundamental rules, right? We're supposed to understand this. It's supposed to be of the people. Well, I don't see either of these parties satisfying that quotient.
Yeah,
so I've
right.
been trying to do this from a grassroots perspective for several years now.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in and you have no idea what the hell Frankie and I are talking about, Frankie called in just about 10 minutes ago. He says, hey, man, we're moving into this closed primary system. It's confusing. Nobody that's not within 5 feet of Jeff Landry seems to think it's a good idea. So, you know, what are the consequences for somebody like Frankie, who's no party, but wants to run for higher office? And I don't mean like dog catcher or some sort of low-level commissioner. I'm talking about, you know, like you said, the Public Service Commission, Bessie, any statewide office, congressional races, that sort of thing. So just to clarify, Frankie, because this confused me too, if you are no party, that doesn't explicitly mean that you can't get on the ballot, but it's a sneaky way of making sure that you'll never win. It's effectively a kill shot, because if you're no party, then you don't get to run in a primary election, which means all that time spent, you know, if you're a Republican or Democrat and you have to compete in a primary, the debates, the town halls, the earned media that you get from participating in that election, that is denied to you if you're no party. If you're no party, you basically have to show up at the last minute and hope that you've made enough of a splash independently with no help from a major party to be competitive on the ballot. And that is the longest of long shots.
Well, I tell you, the winning of anything, that's a different question. This is a being able to compete with your ideas. So I could be a Green Party guy, and I was registered Green Party originally when I moved out here 30 years ago. But if I'm a libertarian Green Party or other, which there's 6,000 of, there's only 2,300 Green Party individuals. If they wanted to muster a Senate candidate, they can't meet the threshold of signatures required. It's 2,500 signatures arbitrarily set. Now, the governor just reduced the requirement for one office or the next down to 150. I will tell you this, any signature is a threat to the individual citizen's identity. It's a wet mark signature that you're required to get. This makes somebody vulnerable to identity theft in a way that nothing else, no other piece of information you can divulge is that important. So this is a requirement that's unreasonable to ask of any citizen to do. So it's not even, I've tested this. When I come to a parish worker or any kind of civil servant, they won't deny it because they're threatened of retribution, because all this information is going to be public. So anybody who signs a petition, well, it's going to be known that they signed it. So anybody who has an influence politically or could be influenced politically is at risk. Again, this is basically just a threshold that's unreasonable. It's also a qualification to legislate for the union that goes beyond what the Constitution specifies. There are only two requirements. You have to be a citizen for a number of years in the place where in the United States, and you have to be of a certain age. And these are fundamental. You know, last year I spent $600 to qualify for the House of Representatives. I went out knocking on doors. I don't need the media. And I'll tell you, that extended time, that primary, I actually think will work to the favor of a third party.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to have 10 months of a campaign. Look, in 2.5 months, just knocking on doors, grassroots, I got 6,700 people that don't know me to vote for me. Ian, I raised a child, single parent. I might know 100 people, and I guarantee you half of them didn't vote for me. They don't like me, you know? I mean, and maybe for good reason.
Frankie, I get it. I get it, man. Okay, so I think we understand, because you've done a great job explaining it, the kind of risk to people who want to put their signature, you know, on the petition. In your own words, Frankie, explain why you think, you know, power brokers in Baton Rouge, whether it's this governor or the next, would do something that, and I think there's a fast answer here, so I'm kind of setting you up. It's a little bit of a softball. Yeah. Why would they do something that makes it impossible for you to get money, that makes it impossible for you to get endorsements, that makes it impossible for you to get media coverage, and that shoehorns you into being like a protest candidate? you know, the guy with the traffic cone on his head, or the rent is too damn high, like that kind of thing, like a not serious candidate. They've done this to narrow the accountability that they have to the voter.
Absolutely. And this is more about them disqualifying those outside candidates, those outsider candidates you refer to, because I'll tell you what, I am very comfortable just being a citizen candidate. I am very comfortable without money, without endorsements. In fact, I'm using that now to get what petition signatures I can. Mm-hmm. I'm using that as a sell point. I don't need endorsements. Those endorsements are bought. Look what happened to you in Orleans Parish here. When the AFL-CIO endorses the three front runners, is that really an endorsement? They can't go out on a limb and endorse one person that ain't in got the top money.
That's
at
too hard.
At some point, the voters, this falls on the voters, and I tell everybody when I speak to them, I said, I don't fault a shark for being a shark or rats for going after cheese. This will require an ourselves correction. I'm making that case. Now, they've made it so, I don't know if we resonated enough with 6,780 votes for them to take this action. I think this is just a copy-paste of other states' actions.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, it's an infringement on a privileges and immunities clause within Article 4, Section 2 of the Constitution. Straight up. Right? This is a privilege of mine to be a candidate for an office. This is an immunity from one state's laws infringing on me versus another. This is fundamental liberty. This is the power of self-determination.
I think
so. To me,
go ahead.
Yeah, they're basically, this is an extinguishing of even having a protest candidate available. And that's why I've done this. I've done this to be to protest basically the form of legislative government.
I think it's so interesting what you're doing, Frankie. Like you really are serious about it, in that you're like, winning is secondary. You know, if I win, great. That's a great bonus. But the tip of the spear here is for me to get myself into the conversation and have a sort of debate along ideological or even like philosophical lines. You know, like, what are we doing here? How is this democracy supposed to function? And I think that's really admirable, and I wish you the best of luck. I did want to say, you know, you said this might be a sort of the copy paste thing that we got from other states, and from what I've learned about our closed primary system, other states have closed primaries, but they also have ranked choice. They also have an opportunity for independent candidates to qualify earlier so that they don't have to, you know, sort of disappear at the same time that Republicans and Democrats are running in a primary. You know, that other states give their independent candidates an opportunity to build momentum or secure a victory in other ways. Louisiana does none of that. It's literally just the people in power turning around and kicking the person behind them in the face and making sure they fall back down the ladder.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly a situation. I wouldn't have found this if they hadn't advanced the primaries. If that hadn't made the news, I would not have found this evidence, because basically this law reaches back in time. By the time I find out mid-November, the time to gather signatures began September 25th of last year. Mm. So it's a crazy disenfranchisement. We built, you know, I had to build a website. I had to try and rush to do things that I wasn't planning until next May to qualify. That's the usual schedule. You know, in some aspects, you know, if there's 800 people that aren't a Republican or a Democrat and they want to see these two parties challenged, they can go to nomoreparty.com. They can come by my house, Homer Boulevard. It's public knowledge. I'm at the council meetings all the time. If you want to slap these two in the face, you know, we need 2,500 signatures to give the Senate a run. We need 800, but it's 10 days from now. They got to be submitted.
Frankie, you sound like a really smart guy. I can really tell you're passionate, and your head and your heart are both in the right place. Promise that you'll keep in touch as this moves forward, okay?
Absolutely, man. I'm sworn to support and defend. I got to do this.
Got to do it. For the people. Frankie, for the people. Thanks for calling in, brother. We'll talk again later. We'll step away and take care of some business, get another look at traffic with Endless Joe Cardosi. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to, what's his name, Henry Young from Avari Research. Why can't I get anybody to call him Parkies? I'm Ian Hoke on WWL. I'll be right back after this.